Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, my name is Stephen Lewis, and you're listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, Robert Bruce, the author of Astral Dynamics, will be joining us to talk about cultivating the astral body. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-host. Steve, how are you tonight?
I'm very well, thank you, Stephen. Looking forward to this show.
Outstanding. I'm so glad to hear that. Can you please tell us what you do at PsychicAccess.com?
Yes, I'm a psychic medium and hermetic astrologer. So I connect directly with spirit and prove the continued existence of the soul for people that wish to connect with loved ones in the spirit world. But I also use my connection to spirit and hermetic astrology to help people better understand themselves, their path in the world, and to look at all inquiries from finances to relationships and even world events.
Well, so you combine mediumship with astrology. What a powerful approach.
Yeah, I like to, because I feel then you're using the left brain and the right brain, and that brings a really good level of depth and accuracy.
Yeah, intuition plus analysis all wrapped up. I like that approach for sure.
Good.
Okay, well, thank you for joining us tonight, Steve.
Thank you.
Brenda, Lady Brenda, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good.
I'm so happy to hear that. You also do readings at PsychicAccess.com.
Yes, I do. I read with all you lovely people, and I'm a predictive psychic. I specialize in dates, times, and places. And I use the crystal ball, the tarot, and the playing cards.
Ah, okay. So you also have a multi-tool approach to doing readings.
You know what? I love the tools. Because I'm a traditionalist, I really love the tools.
Ah, and you use them quite well. I've seen you in action, and you are formidable. Your intuition is spot on. Maureen, how are you doing this evening?
Okay, I'm okay. Thank you.
You're okay.
Yeah,
oh, mercy.
Okay.
Hopefully by the end of 2 hours, you'll be doing much better.
Yeah, I'll be just like on the wall crazy. No, I'm fine. Thank you. And well, what do I do? Okay.
Yes. Yes, she read my mind. You're definitely a psychic.
That's what I do. I read people's minds. Manipulate. No, awesome. I am an intuitive empath tarot reader, and I utilize tarot as my main tool because I do. And well, yes. And I also, I do my work, this work, because I must, and I'm self-taught, and I help people with direction and, options and looking at things. Maybe if appearing negative can become a positive. Oh. And I'm also located at PsychicAccess.com along with everybody else.
Wonderful, wonderful. So you're the resident tarot expert as well.
Like,
we all like to use tarot, don't we? Yeah.
Well, I know you and Steve kind of like go off on your tangent with your I'm sorry, you guys are great. No, with your I know you and Brenda and I are all tarot. We're a little different though, but yeah, I connect with it. And I do feel that it's a symbolic record of human experience, and that's all I got to say. It's just what I'm saying.
Okay. Rank, name, rank, and serial number, it will be. Fine. Well, guys, I'm really excited to bring to you Robert Bruce. He is an author. He's a metaphysical researcher and an expert in the field of out-of-body experiences. He's known for his experience and knowledge in the esoteric fields and is highly regarded for his successful curriculum of courses on a wide range of metaphysical topics, courses that he has designed himself through years of rigorous research, observation, and experimentation. So Robert's joining us from down under. I'd like to say good day, Robert. Welcome to the show.
G'day, mate. How you going?
I'm doing very well. Let me just go ahead and say your accent is going to be a big hit with all of our listeners. They're going to love it.
I'll tone it down a bit.
No, don't. Tone it up. Tone it up. Well, I guess before we should get started talking about this really complicated topic of astral projection and the astral body, I guess we should go ahead and talk about my big question is, can I expect the same result as anybody else? For example, are the results going to vary from person to person, or is it pretty much the same result for everybody?
They vary from person to person. It depends a lot on how your energy body and chakras are wired and how much resistance you have, internal resistance to the process. But this is something that everybody does every time they sleep. But by and large, most people don't remember it. It's more difficult to remember an out-of-body experience than it is to remember a dream.
Yeah, so that's the trick to the out-of-body experience, is actually working on and focusing on the memory. That's a big part of the process, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Exactly, and I've studied the process. I mean, the actual exit out of the body and the re-entry and what happens there for decades. In depth, you know, thousands of OBEs, and I'm feeling it as I'm coming out and coming back in again. And it finally hit me many years ago before I wrote my first book on it called Astral Dynamics, that the what was happening is when you have an astral projection, you never ever leave your physical body while you still live. You generate an energy copy of yourself, and that copy is projected out of body. And if you're in an altered state of consciousness, a trance state, you know, deeply relaxed and semi-paralyzed in bed, and you have an astral projection, there are two copies of you. There's the original and the copy, both of them thinking and gathering experience memories separately. And if your dream mind becomes active while this is happening, that's three copies of you operating simultaneously. Now, you've only got one memory, one brain. So how does the mind cope with three separate memory streams? It's a grammatical nightmare, plus anything. And it causes problems. But if you understand the process and what's happening, you can work with it or around it to maximize your chance of success.
Interesting. Now, in astral dynamics, one concept that was sort of new to me and threw me for a loop was the idea of the projectable double, the idea that there are various copies of myself. I found that to be very intriguing. Can we talk a little bit about the projectable double? Is this, in fact, the astral body itself or some intermediary version of the astral body?
It is the astral body. When you're trying to have an astral projection, now, most people... It's very easy to do because, I mean, you do it every night. It's a natural process, like falling asleep. Mm-hmm. And let's say you sit down and you're relaxing and you try and have an astral projection. And fairly quickly, you will produce a projectable double where the astral body, the energy copy, the astral body forms within you but doesn't separate. It's still aligned with the physical body mind. But it's inside of you, so it feels like you haven't gotten out. You've only got one mind at the time, and it's not until that actually projects out of body that you realize that it's a separate body. And, of course, your mind goes with it if you remember the astral projection. So it feels like you, all of you, you know, you could say your spirit, your soul, your mind, everything is leaving your body, leaving behind an empty body. But, of course, that never happens. You stay inside your body. So typically when a person tries to have an astral projection and fails, you've got the physical body side of it. Now, a failed astral projection involves laying down, you know, doing a bit of energy work and a technique, and then you feel yourself coming out of your body, you know, a falling sensation, a very rapid heartbeat, whole body vibrations, and you buzz out of your body. Now, that's a successful astral projection. And, of course, at some point you'll go back into your body and remember it. Now, the memory there comes solely from the projectable double. you know, it leaves the body, comes back in again, and the memory downloads successfully. But what happens to most people is they go through that process and they start coming out of the body. They might get the rapid heartbeat, the vibrations, a falling sensation, and they might feel themselves buzzing out of their body, and then it stops cold. And there you are, laying awake in your bed, and nothing's happened. You know, and you, then you feel really, really tired, and you would normally say, oh, I failed again, and roll over on your side and go to sleep. Well, you think you roll over on your side. But what's actually happened here, you have successfully projected, because once the instant the mind split effect happens, when the projectable double actually separates from the physical body mind, the memories, you say, the experienced memory leaves the body and is experiencing life separately in the astral dimension. But the physical body mind, at the moment of the mind split, everything ends. You could be halfway out of your body buzzing nicely, and then it just stops, because the astral body that's having the buzzing is continued out of the astral, leaving the physical body feeling as if it's failed. Everything just stops and it's laying there in bed. Now, you feel like you roll over on your side maybe to go to sleep, but you're actually rolling over in your own skin. You could say it's your etheric body, your subtle body, rolling over and going to sleep there, but you're not actually physically moving because you're actually paralyzed, but you don't realize it at the time. So there's some tricky bits happen here, but once you understand the process, you can start working with it.
Very good. Very good. It seems to me that achieving this trance state of the perfect combination of an awake mind and a sleeping body, that seems pretty vital to the process. And I want to understand how to achieve that trance state, because I don't know, if most of the listeners are like me, they're probably going to fall completely asleep before any observable results happen.
Yeah, the trance state is an old term for it. It's an altered state of consciousness. They also call it like alpha, theta, different ways of describing it there. But it's a deeply relaxed state of body and mind. And it's very, very easy to get into. If you want to experiment, my best suggestion is next time you're going to sleep in bed, lay on your back with your elbows on the bed and your hands raised, with your forearms vertical, holding your hands off the bed, and allow yourself to fall asleep. And as you start falling asleep, of course, your hands will drop and jerk you back to being awake again. And that might happen dozens of times. But while that's happening, you will get to experience what it's like to be in an altered state of consciousness for a few seconds even. Because the trick is of being awake in an altered state of consciousness, it's like a razor's edge. It's like tightrope walking. You're holding yourself between being asleep and being awake. And it's a little bit tricky, but very natural. And with a little bit of practice, you will learn how to stay awake while your physical body falls to sleep.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. That's a pretty useful tip. I'm going to try that, actually. I think that'll work. We've all had that experience of falling asleep and then, you know, jerking awake again. And we never look at it as an altered consciousness. You know, that's pretty enlightening for me, actually, to think of it that way.
That experience there where you are laying in bed and you catch the sides, you feel a falling sensation and you catch the sides of the bed.
Right.
Now, that normally happens when you are overtired, if you're a bit sleep deprived, particularly if you've like skipped a night's sleep or you're jet lagged or something like that. That might happen many, many times, because one of the primary sensations of an astral projection is an intense falling sensation. Now, you also get a falling sensation when you're falling asleep. That's why they call it falling asleep, because a falling sensation is involved.
Makes sense.
Here you, that will happen quite often when you're overtired. You catch the side of the bed because your body is so tired, it's trying to separate so it can recharge. And so you're just slipping out of your body really, really quickly and experiencing the falling sensation, but your body is still quite awake, so it responds by catching the sides of the bed.
Well, Robert, let me ask you a quick question, because I don't know. I'm like one of these people who likes to fall asleep with his iPod in, listening to an audiobook, or with the TV going. This sort of behavior, if I'm serious about out-of-body experiences, do I need to cut that sort of behavior out of my life, or is it okay to fall asleep listening to music or watching TV?
Well, it's probably a good idea to cut that back a little bit, because you'll have a lot of stimulus in the room, and that will confuse the matter. It's not that big a deal. I mean, you can still do it, but it'll be distracting if you're trying to have an astral projection. With your television, your radio, or the media, whatever you're doing there, you'll be habituated to that after doing it for many, many years. And so that's going to seem like normal, but that's probably a terrible way to have an astral projection, because you don't need any distractions or emotional responses. You need peace and quiet to really sort of focus and relax and let go.
Makes perfect sense. What if I have some sort of a sleep disorder, where like insomnia? I'm sure that can probably, I need to get that sorted out as well before, you know, doing some work like this. Would you agree with that, or do you think that won't get in the way?
Well, insomnia can get in the way, but if you are insomniac, then learning how to get into an altered state is like, you really, really need to do that. Because if you're going to not be able to sleep, if you can put yourself into an altered state of consciousness, then your mind stays awake and you're still thinking, your physical body goes to sleep. So you're going to get physical rest. You're going to get sleep. The dream mind will activate. You're going to get REM sleep, rapid eye movement, which happens when you're dreaming. That's essential for good health. If you don't get that, your mind turns to mush in a few days. So learning how to get into an altered state of consciousness is a big help if you're an insomniac.
Ah, okay. So in that sense, it'll accidentally help me. To recognize the altered state of consciousness. Of course, it'll probably be much safer for myself if I realize that's what I'm doing, as opposed to just doing it accidentally, for example.
Yeah, exactly. I spend probably half the night when I go to bed awake. I put myself into an altered state. I've done so much of this over the years that it only takes me a few seconds to get into an altered state. And so I put my body to sleep. And I mean, it'll even snore occasionally and that, you know, but I'm wide awake. I'm doing distance healing. I'm having OBEs. I'm having clairvoyance, visions and things happening. And I do a lot of distance healing and that. So I make good use of the time. But my physical body's asleep. It gets plenty of rest.
Interesting. That's okay. Very, very interesting. Now, you know, you're not the first, you know, a lot of highly respected minds in a lot of disciplines, psychologists, doctors, a lot of scientists, there's something about the moment right before sleep, that moment of fringe consciousness, when you're about to fall asleep or when you're about to wake up. What is it about that moment that's so magical, so conducive to the creativity? What is it about that time of the day and the cycle of sleep?
It's kind of like it's magic hour or the witching hour, whatever you want to call it. At that stage there, you are, whether you're falling asleep and you're still awake or whether you're waking up, your body is in an altered state of consciousness. Now, this is particularly strong when you're waking up. In that couple of seconds while you're waking up, you're coming from quite a deep altered state of consciousness, where you will be having visions and maybe even hearing things. You could be having a conversation at the time while you're waking up, and all kinds of interesting things happening. And just for a couple of seconds, you get to experience that with your conscious mind. So you remember it. because everything, including dreams and the mind split effect and the issues with memory of remembering OBEs, also applies to meditation and existing in an altered state. I mean, it's very, very common. If you have a group of people, or if you do it singly, if you're having a meditation session, and maybe you're following a CD or something, a guided meditation, but at some point during the meditation, there you will feel a tingling rush of energy. It'll quickly, in a split second, go up your legs and then up your back, and you'll feel something big is going to happen. It's whoa, something's happening, and then it will stop, and you think, oh. Don't know what that was. And, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes later, you're continuing your meditation and you feel a tingling rush come up you again. And you think, oh, something big's happening. This is cool. And it stops again. But what you don't realize here is the first tingling body rush was an astral projection exit out of body. The second tingling rush was the re-entry into your body. Now, the astral projected, that 10 minutes you're out of your body, you've lost the memory download because your astral body was out experiencing independently and doing all kinds of interesting things, and then it comes back, but you lose the memory of it, just like you lose dream memories. I mean, how many times do you wake up in the morning and you've had an amazing dream? You've had a 2-hour movie you've been involved with. Really, really interesting. And you say, wow, that was an incredible dream. I'll never forget that. Forget what? It's gone.
Happens all too often.
Here's the interesting thing with that sort of memory. The memory is gone, but you remember that you had a really cool memory. And you know it's gone. You know you had it. And then it comes back. And you say, oh, it's back. Oh, wow, that's really, really cool. And then it goes again. You've lost it, but you know you remember you've had this really, really cool dream experience memory, and then it's gone again. It's like a little cloud hanging over your head. Therein lies the key to remembering astral projection, because keeping a dream journal, learning how to do dream recall exercises, and writing down a couple of key words about the dream so you've got a link to it in association with that memory. For example, if that dream, amazing dream you had, if you wrote down one or two keywords that related to it, and that's all you do. So the instant you wake up, you grab a keyword out of it, and you might say water skiing, okay? And you verbalize that as soon as you wake up. You say water skiing, and then you write it down quickly with a pad that's by your bed or on your bed. And when the memory goes, all you got to do is look at that keyword at water skiing and bang, it all comes back. The association triggers a memory. You wouldn't believe how often, probably once a fortnight here, once every 2 weeks, I will wake up in the morning and I'll come out, start making coffee, and I'll see a note on the counter and I look at it and there's this garbled writing, you know, because I've been half asleep when I wrote it. And I hold it upside down, turn it this way and that, try and decipher it. And then I finally make out the writing and a couple of key words and bang, the entire experience comes back. And it may be an astral experience, something, or a dream or something interesting happened with just one or two key words to connect with that memory, and the association pulls it back up again. It's like accessing a file on a hard drive.
Meanwhile, if you had not written those keywords down, then you would have missed out on that moment of recall, that moment of memory. You would have missed out on that more than likely.
Yeah, it's gone. I mean, also, when you've had a really cool dream, I mean, you may, several hours later during the day, you will find the dream comes back to you because something on the radio, something somebody says, you might see a picture of somebody water skiing, and all of a sudden you see that and bang, the memory comes back. You see something triggers the association there in your memory, and it recalls the memory, and bang, it pops up in your head again. You say, oh, wow, just remember a dream I had last night. You may have even had this dream a couple of nights before, but the memory is there, but it's coded. We don't have like a direct file path to it. Like when you're in the physical world and awake, everything is recorded and stored differently. And we have like this progressive memory, which is, you know, fairly easy to remember. I mean, you go back to what you did this morning and, you know, what happened at breakfast and that and during the day, and you can pretty well remember most of it. But we have a lot of associations there, and the memory is stored differently. So what you need to do is to train yourself, which is quite easy, to start recalling dream memories and out-of-body experience memories. And then your body will become entrained to storing those, because the default setting for human beings is to not remember out-of-body experiences. For some reason, your higher self, in the higher aspects of you, do not consider astral projection memories to be worth keeping. Or it's trying to protect us from the complexities that that causes in life.
Right, so it could be an evolutionary consequence of the age of reason, or it could be a self, or it could be a defense mechanism of the body, one of the two.
It is a bit. I mean, if you look at every human being that's born has full psychic abilities, 100% psychic abilities. I mean, they're clairvoyant, they're clairaudient. All psychic abilities work 100% because everybody has chakras. And the chakras are responsible mainly for the psychic abilities, and there's lots of them. But when you're born, these are closed down and deactivated by fault. The default setting for a human being is deactivated chakras. And this is done to keep us focused here in the physical world, in the here and now. This is an evolutionary advantage. I mean, we would not want to be seeing it sounds cool, but, you know, having clairvoyant visions all the time, hearing the voices of spirits and relatives in the spirit world and that all the time, incredibly ungrounding. And we have a name for that in society. It's called schizophrenia.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the default setting is very wise, keeps us focused in the physical world where we need to be. So a dinosaur doesn't eat your body while you're having a vision or something like that. But for some people, of course, it's we're interested in, we're led to explore that side of life, and then we start stepping into the greater reality.
Well, speaking of memory and especially as it pertains to cultivating the astral body, you have a very unique take on visualization. In fact, your idea and concept of visualization isn't wholly visual. The visual sense encompasses only a fraction of your concept of visualization. Could you talk about that a little bit and how that plays into memory recall? And I think you call it tactile imaging, in fact.
Yeah. One of my greatest discoveries in life which has helped an enormous amount of people in the world is the true explanation for what visualization is. Now, if you go to any group of people which is doing visualization exercises everywhere, everybody does it in the whole spiritual New Age sort of movement. Every exercise and energy work exercise is all based on visualization, because 150 or so years ago, when a lot of Eastern knowledge was brought to the West by people like Madame Blavatsky and that, and it was translated into English, the only word we have in the English language which explained how to move energy was visualization. So that was used in the translations for any reference to moving energy, was visualization. So what happens here, if you're sitting in a led meditation and the meditation instructs you to visualize a ball of energy moving up your legs, for example, and most people, probably 75% of people, just visualize it. Now, visualization is imagination. Imagination is visualization. They're one and the same. Now, probably 75% of people have a problem with visualization. They can't do it. They struggle to keep up with it because they believe they have to see something, like a little TV set in the mind's eye. You know, so they close their eyes and want to visualize this ball of energy. They believe they should see it because of the way it's described by their teachers. Now, This is compounded if their teachers are clairvoyant and they actually see something visually in their mind's eye when they are visualizing. And then if you take that one step further and you assume that because you can see it, everybody else can see what they're visualizing in their mind's eye. And, of course, that is not the case. I discovered this several years ago, and I went up to my, I went to my sister, Ginny. I said, hey, Ginny, do you know when most people close their eyes, they don't see anything, it's just all black? And she said, what? I don't believe you. Because, you know, we're both clairvoyants, so we never see blackness. But most people do. But now, when you fantasize, when you imagine something, you can have a fantasy which is so detailed. You can see brilliant colors and, I mean, every hair on a person's head, vivid smells, sights, sounds. It's incredibly detailed, a normal non-sighted, non-visual fantasy and imagination exercise. But it is the way it is described, though, when you're doing energy work exercises and that is very, very misleading. Now, taking that one step further, I discovered that when to do any kind of energy work or body work on your body, you need to connect to the tactile senses, to the physical body. You need to kinesthetically connect with the body. So if you imagine, if you visualize a ball of energy moving up your legs and you're just visualizing that in your mind's eye and you're seeing a picture of that, if you're not connecting to the physical body kinesthetically, it won't work, it won't do anything. But if you kinesthetically connect to the body and you move that ball of energy up your legs, it will excite all the nerves in those legs, your physical body's nerves, with a lot of bioelectrical activity. And beneath the surface of the physical nerves and that bioelectrical activity, it directly impacts the subtle energy bodies beneath the surface of the physical body. So you actually disturb and you can manipulate the substance of your energy body. And if you apply that method to your chakras, you will activate them. You know, it's much, much easier to work on the energy body. And this was, this is the original purpose of the energy work and that comes from the West, because in the native languages, it is described much, much better. So people over there get it. You know, they connect kinesthetically to the body, and of course it works. But over here, and I've done this to dozens of teachers in their groups, and I've explained this to them, and they've said, no, it's a given. Everybody gets that. Everybody understands that. And I stand up and I ask the group, and then there's about 75% of the hands go up. Well, I've always had a problem with energy work and the visualization, and it's like, 5 minutes instruction and everybody is on an even footing and everybody can do the work. And from this, I developed a simple system of energy work I call body awareness tactile imaging as a section of that in all of my books and on my websites, astrodynamics.com and .org. And, yeah, it's very, very easy to learn. It takes an average about 3 minutes to 4 minutes to learn the system, the basics of the system, how to move energy through your body. And once you've got that, you're off. You know, your visualization will then, your imagination will then automatically connect with your physical body. And when you're visualizing anything, you know, you're connecting with it. So you're moving energy. It's very, very simple.
Ah, well, we're all accustomed to the normal chakras, but one thing that you raised my awareness on was that there are actually like sub chakras, right?
Yeah.
As well.
Yep.
Ah, fascinating stuff. Now, once we start to make to move into the astral planes, I read about a fascinating sort of intermediary place that remind me for all the world about purgatory. In fact, you refer to it as the real time zone. We're approaching our commercial time here in a bit, so it probably would be a better idea to get into it after the commercial. But I want to just say that this was definitely something that I had never heard of before in my life, the real time zone. And it is possible to meet other astral travelers in that intermediary zone as well, correct?
Yeah, definitely. Now, the real time zone, I created the term for that because there was a gap between the astral planes and the physical reality which we're in right now. Because when you project out, you are usually, most people are first in, you are in the real time zone, which is where reality happens. You are like a ghost in the real world. As, you know, normal life is going on around you, you're floating around like a ghost. Now, that's technically at the bottom, at the lowest end of the astral plane, if you're using an up and down, you know, grade on that there. But, of course, the lower astral planes is supposed to be like purgatory, you know, a place of the damned, you know, where all the low-life spirits are hanging out. But it's not that case at all. The real-time zone is just the physical, unless the physical world is the place of the damned, we're already living in it. I mean, there is a case for that.
Right. Yeah.
That is just the first level of, you know, being in the astral dimension, and that's separate from the astral planes.
Right. Sort of an in between place. I thought it just very interesting that there would be sort of a celestial vestibule, a waiting area, as it were, even though you don't necessarily have to wait there. That's not really what it's designed for.
Most people only spend a few seconds there. It depends on how your chakras are wired. There are two components to an astral projection. There is your astral body. A pure astral projection is a projection from the flesh of your body. Now, that is demonstrable. And if you have a pure astral projection, you're stuck in the real time zone. And
I'll tell you what, Robert, let me ask you to hold that thought, my friend. We got to pay the bills real fast, and we'll pick right up where we left off when we get back, okay?
Okay.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. Robert, we were talking about the real time zone and how it relates to astral projection, the astral body itself. And in your book, Astral Dynamics, you include a really cool illustration of what happens to the hands sometimes in the real time zone, the melting hands effect during the out of body experience. And this is happening to the real time subtle body. Now, this is a version of the projectable double. Am I right or wrong on that?
It is. This is one of the few constant factors of the, you could say, astral projection in general, that if you look at your hands, they will instantly start to melt. And in about 3 seconds, they will melt down to little, imagine if your hands are made of like wax and you put them under a powerful heat lamp. And in 3 seconds, they just melt away and you've got stumpy wrists then. If you look away and look back again, your hands are back and they'll melt again. It's one of the few constants because as soon as you step out of the physical dimension, you step into the astral zone or any of the astral plane levels or into the spirit world. This also applies when you're dead. And I think this is built, it's built into the fabric of the subtle dimensions there, that as soon as you step out of the physical, you will start encountering anomalies. And anomalies are everywhere, whether you're in the real-time zone, you know, you look over your kitchen and you find it's back to front. You'll find the stove is on the other side of the room. or one of your windows is out of place. And in the astral dimension and in dreams as well, you'll find if you go to sign a piece of paper, your pen will run out of ink after the first word. It's another consistent factor. All these anomalies. If you're in the any of the astral zones and you don't know you're there, and let's say you're having a beer and you've got a big mug of beer there and a bagel, and you take a big swig out of your beer and you look away and you look back again a split second later and your beer's full again. Now, you don't realize that you've died. You know, all of a sudden something happened, a piano fell on your head or something, and you take a bite out of your bagel and look away and you look back and it's whole again. I mean, this is the afterlife. There's free beer and bagels. How bad can it be?
That thought was just going through my mind, Robert. Jokes. I was like, well, that would be the perfect, that would be the biggest red flag there. If I had a beer that replenished itself, I'd be like, well, I know I must have gotten in a car crash on the way over here or something.
Yeah. Well, only if you know that. But I mean, this is a fail-safe device. It doesn't matter what you believe in, whatever your religious beliefs are or non-beliefs, doesn't matter what you have. After you die, eventually the anomalies will get to you and you will start focusing on them. And you will start looking at your beer or your cup of coffee out of the corner of your eye. You've had a drink out of it and you're watching it as you put it down. And you'll say, aha, it filled up again. You start focusing on the anomalies. And as soon as you start to focus on the anomalies, that will cause you to shift to a higher level, which will be more understandable. There'll still be anomalies there constantly reminding you. But it doesn't matter what your beliefs are or non-beliefs. Eventually, you will get the idea through to you that you are no longer in normal physical reality. You can't avoid it. The anomalies make sure you will eventually get it.
It's like that movie Groundhog's Day with Bill Murray, where every day is the exact same, and the focus of the movie is in, you know, changing or correcting past mistakes. But there's that point in the movie where Bill Murray's character realizes that, hey, I'm not in Kansas anymore. Something's something's wrong here. Something's abnormal. That's sort of what you're talking about as far as an anomaly is concerned, right?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite movies too. I love that. I watched
because didn't the tenor of the movie change after that? Didn't he change? He reached a higher level himself after that, didn't he? Once he had that realization.
Yeah, he did. Now that's a drastic, very large anomaly. Anomalies are normally little things, but yeah, it basically is. Now, that is very much like being dead in the spirit world. I mean, I visit the spirit world quite often. I've got family there. But it's very much like that. People live parts of their lives over and over again until they come to terms with them, and then they kind of settle down, usually in a seaside village somewhere where it's kind of like a heavenly sort of a realm where all of their family they've lost and loved is there, and all their friends, and even the dogs and cats are there, because dogs and cats also survive death. And dogs and cats astral project, by the way, and so do even hamsters. As far as I can make out, every living thing astral projects.
Ah. So that means every creature has an astral body.
Yeah, as far as I can see. Now, I've observed, because I do so much meditation and I'm clairvoyant, and when I'm meditating, I get astral sight, which means I can see into the real-time zone and even some of the astral dimensions while I'm meditating, clearly through my closed eyelids. And I've often observed my children astral projecting, babies, dogs, cats. I often have a dog asleep in the room with me, and I watch it. It's like this pale shape, the shape of the dog, will form over it and come loose a little bit and expand, and then it will float up out of the dog, and then the dog will go woof and go running off out of the, or running around the room, or it might come and jump on my lap. It's really quite interesting, but I think everything seems to astral project. I mean, I've seen dogs and cats and children. I've seen a hamster do it that I was holding in my hands, and he fell asleep there, and I watched him project and connect him with his memories and that. Horses as well. I've done it with horses as well.
Ah, they're very interesting.
They're quite evolved, yeah. But, I mean, if everything does it, there must be a natural purpose to it. You know, and it happens all the time. So, and I think the natural purpose is that when you sleep, you astral project out. It's almost like the spiritual part of you needs to reconnect with its roots in the spiritual dimensions where we come from.
Truly. As Shakespeare said, death, where is thy sting? I keep thinking of, you know, all these different planes of existence, the real time zone, the astral plane, all these various planes of existence. And I know a lot of us have lost people who are close to us. And, you know, as I listen to you talk about how the astral body would disengage from the physical body, and, you know, I can't help but be reminded or ask myself, I wonder if death is like this, when the soul or the spirit or what have you, the subtle energy bodies, when they release from the body, it seems to me like it would be a very similar process almost.
It is not just similar, it's identical. When you have an astral projection, you are, for all intents and purposes, experiencing what it's like to die. Now, I've observed people while they died, and I've followed the afterlife scenario from people that have died, including my mother and my father and even some pet dogs we've had, and I've observed their afterlife experience. There are similarities. I mean, a dog's afterlife experience is simpler, much more simplified than the humans, because they have a simpler mind, but they do have an afterlife process which is very similar. And well, put it this way. If somebody dropped an atomic bomb on your head right now, and somebody dropped one on my head at exactly the same time, right now, while we're talking here now, and we both disintegrated, we'd probably both go, well, what was that? Did you feel that tremor in the force? And mind you, we're still talking on the computer here, right?
Right.
And
right.
Our conversation would go on. And we'd start talking, and maybe it would go on for a long time. We could be talking for several hours or more, or several days. And at some point, we'll say, wow, we've been talking for a long time. You fancy a cup of coffee? Okay, let's go get a cup of coffee. And we'd both stand up, and my head would appear over the top of your computer stream as I stand up, or yours would appear over mine. And we would go and find a kitchen, which might be your kitchen, it might be mine, it might be part my kitchen, part yours, an anomaly there. We'd have a cup of coffee and go wandering off. And at some point, now, if we didn't know what I know, I would catch on really quickly, but most people wouldn't. It could be several weeks, months, or even years before a person catches on that they're no longer in physical reality. They must have died. But if you don't know about it, but I mean, death is nothing to be afraid of, actually. The dying part sucks, you know, that can be painful. Who wants that? But once you're dead,
it's really crazy. When I personify death, I tend to think of him as like, as an usher in a theater, you know, just showing us which theater to move on to next. And boom, his interaction, it comes in and out of our life just like that, snap of a finger. And it's really what comes before and after the event that counts the most, it seems here.
It does. When you die, your body, your spirit body, which is basically just an enhanced astral body, because a lot more of your energy is left the physical body when it's defunct. Normally, when you have a projected double comes out of your body, your astral body, there's a part of your energy comes out. But when your physical body dies, there's a lot more. And that's why a near-death experience is like so vivid when somebody has a near-death experience there, because a lot more energy comes out temporarily, and then it gets yanked back in again, kicking and screaming. But when you die, your physical body feels normal. I mean, if you bite your finger, ow, it hurts. You know, you've got pleasure and pain. And in the spirit world, you feel physical. You feel like a normal physical body. And other people you meet, maybe other deceased spirits and that, you can touch them and it feels just like a normal human being does. I mean, in the spirit world, you can kiss and cuddle a loved one. You can have a meal. You can go and see a movie you haven't seen before. You can read a book even. The anomalies of the you often get like astral dyslexia, we call it. In the astral, if you try and read something, you read the first line or two and then it all jumbles up like you're dyslexic. The letters move. It's very much like being dyslexic, but that's a lot more stable, that part in the when you're dead. But it's like, and there's no special place for it. I mean, suicides fare no differently to anybody else. They have a lot more baggage because they've killed themselves. So they often have a darker afterlife experience because they're processing a lot more pain, and they will create different scenarios around themselves until they process those events that are troubling them, which have driven them to suicide, until they get over it. But then they continue on with the afterlife just like anybody else. But it really is, it's not anything to be afraid of.
Well, let me ask you this. There's a school of thought, or I've read the astral body as described before as basically, let me see if I can spell it out as simply as possible here. There's one school of thought that says astral material is comprised of, they say that thoughts have actual mass, that they, you know, have chemical and electrical components, and that the accumulation of thoughts and the masses that they represent, that these form an astral body, and therefore modifying the astral body depends on modifying one's thought, that you can improve the health of the astral body by improving the quality of your thoughts, etc. The theory goes that these accumulated thoughts, they mass together to form, they organize the same way that cells in the human body do. They form tissues, they form organs of the astral body, etc. What do you think about this sort of piecemeal composition of the astral body by thoughts? What's your opinion on that?
Well, your astral body is, you could say, the template upon what your physical body is based. So the condition of your astral body will have an impact upon how your physical body is. Now, if you can astral project, you can do astral self-healing, healing on your own astral body, which will flow on into your physical body. So that is a way to heal your own physical body, to work on the astral body, if you have the capability of getting out. But, you could say it's composed of thought because, I mean, in that sense, you are what you think. I mean, if you have the ability in the mind, if you get out of your body into the astral, if you could hold the shape in your mind, the body image of a tiger from head to tail, you would turn into a tiger. If you could hold the image of being a Klingon, you would turn into a Klingon. As long as you can hold that image will remain, and you will look like that. To another astral projector or clairvoyant sees you, they will see a Klingon in the room and say, where did that Klingon come from? Everybody recognizes the Klingon these days or tiger, but that's called shape-shifting. And a lot of magicians and witches and that will actually shape-shift like that to hide their identity. So it's, I'm getting a bit lost here, but...
Well, it's really a sprawling topic. We could probably talk about this for hours and hours. Unfortunately, we're coming to the final of our show here. Now, if you and the audience have been stimulated by all of this and you want more, like myself, I definitely want more. You can find Robert at www.astraldynamics.com, also www.astraldynamics.org. And what sorts of what can I find on your website? You have courses and things like that available, correct?
Yeah, we've got courses available, video and DVD courses on manifestation and self-healing, astral projection mastery, and a new one coming up in a few weeks called basically how to raise your kundalini, which is something I've also done many, many years ago. And that's a fascinating topic in itself. And we have another one coming up later this year called Defense Against the Dark Arts.
Ah, fascinating. Fascinating stuff. The Kundalini, is that related to astral energy somehow, or is it a different kettle of fish altogether?
It is related to astral. Everything is related to astral energy. Everything connects together. astral projection, clairvoyance, kundalini, it all relates to the human energy body, and the human physical body, of course, is related to that as well. So everything is connected in that sense.
Very, very, very good stuff. I cannot recommend Astral Dynamics highly enough. If it definitely get out to Amazon.com and pick up a copy of this book. The illustrations, I love the illustrations in this book. They look as if they've been sketched with pencil, but they're very realistic. Absolutely good stuff there. So, Robert, I really want to thank you for showing up here on our show again. Please go see him at astraldynamics.com or astraldynamics.org. You will be very glad that you did. Robert, thank you very much.
You're most welcome. I'll see you again sometime.
I hope so, mate. You have a good one.
Bye.
All right. That went very well. Now, what a fascinating, fascinating interview with Mr. Robert Bruce. Absolutely always a pleasure to talk to him. Right now, I would like to make a few announcements. I'd like you to stay tuned for the second half of our show. You're not going to want to miss that, because that's when you're going to get a chance to get your free on-air reading with all of our gifted psychics who are on the show right now, myself, Maureen, and Steve. We're going to announce that call-in number for you later in the show, so go ahead and get your pen and paper handy so you can copy that number down. If you were unable to catch last week's show on psychic development, you can find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all the previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the archives tab. Tell your family about the archives link there. Feel free to circulate it among your friends. We want to get the word out. Our objective is to connect with as many of you as possible. So don't forget, share that link with others. We want to educate as many people as possible on metaphysical things. A better educated it makes a better reading for everybody. So also be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from reincarnation to the nuts and bolts of psychic development. And of course, if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy tested psychics, each with his or her own unique gift. Every psychic on psychicaccess.com has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them. And you can choose from a list of some of the most authentic, gifted psychics around. One thing I must say about working with Doug and Psychic Access is that there is absolutely zero tolerance for scamming or any of that stuff like that. So it's an honor working with Doug, because he brings nobility to this profession. He has very high expectations of each of his psychics. All of the co-hosts up here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access. And if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We would love to hear from you. By the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. If you like the show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to the psychic viewpoint. There's something for everybody, so spread the word. We very much appreciate it. Okay. Now, we've come to that part of our show where we have the banter now, don't we? I'm wondering what my co-hosts have to say about the interview and our guest.
So who are you going to call on? Stephen, you're doing great.
Thank you.
That was a great interview.
It was very, very good.
I was beginning to wonder.
Well, why? It was fantastic. And people were very interested in chat as well.
I saw that little shepherd's crook. I saw it coming out from stage left like it was about to jerk me off the stage. It was tentative. It was hesitant. It kind of, you know,
you didn't get
out
the hook.
It was very good. And I'll start in with my banter, and that will be the rest end of me. But, you know, I was listening to this, and it's fascinating because I have all sorts of disorders in my life, mental illness. No, I have a lot of sleep disorders and insomnia, or I'm a sleepwalker, and I can be so exhausted, and sleepwalking can be so – I've been a sleepwalker all since a childhood. But I recently – it's funny because just recently, again, this morning, because I finally tried to get sleep this morning, I put on a astral projection. I found a great meditation on YouTube, so I put in my headphones, and I fall asleep to that, because I too fall asleep to a TV Stephen, like you were talking about or something. And I know, and some of it, I know it's just going through my head. So I decided to do this YouTube thing, and I hadn't done it in a while because I've been just like, forget about everything, who cares. But just this morning I put on one, and this one particular one is really good. A lot of them don't do anything for me, but it's fascinating because I do go into a deep sleep, but not only that, I don't know if I can say I've ever experienced, maybe I have, but because of the sleepwalking, it's very interesting because I don't know, maybe if I'm I don't know for sure what's going on if it's astral projection, you know what I mean?
One of the fascinating things about talking with Robert is that you've been astrally projecting probably your whole life without even realizing it. Apparently,
perhaps, yeah.
You know, we all astrally project. In fact, if I understood correctly, it seems just the very act of dreaming in itself is an astral projection.
Right. Well, you know, and also I liked what he was saying, and I tell people to do this now that we have cell phones. You know, when you don't remember, you wake up, you don't remember anything, he's saying, you know, jot down what I was saying. You know what? I say, if you can, grab hold of your cell phone, hit the record thing, because everybody has a memo recorder now.
And yes, they do.
And that comes in really handy, everybody, instead of writing down. I found that for myself. I do from time to time. Yeah, it was very interesting information. He was getting a little bit different than some other people we've had on. The questions you asked was very good. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for enjoying it, if I may say that. That doesn't sound weird, but thank you for enjoying it. It's a pretty interesting topic, you know, and Robert Bruce has done a little, you know, he knows a thing or two about it. He's kind of a pioneer in this topic. He's devised a lot of the jargon and the terminology for it. You know, he's devised all of the teaching techniques in his courses. And so I've read Astral Dynamics. It's a great book written in a way that anybody can understand it. I mean, we're talking about a subject matter here that's mind-boggling. It's complex, but he manages to render it in a very simplified way for people. So I was glad to get him on the show. I found it personally. I know he must have raised some points with gotten some points with you, Brenda, when he mentioned horses.
Yeah, but I was waiting for him to elaborate, but that's okay because I've seen their bodies, you know, their astral spirits leave their bodies after, you know, after they've been put down or they die, you know.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things I didn't hear him mention, and I don't know, maybe he addressed it in his book and he didn't have time to really address it, because, you know, I've been doing this kind of stuff for a lot of years, a lot of years, and I've always thought, it's always been a school of thought for me that there has to be some sort of, if you're going to enter into, you know, astral projecting and projecting out of your body, that there should be some sort of method of protection, and I really didn't hear a whole lot about that from him.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, we just got into the... And that's partly my fault because I was just so enthralled with all the other stuff. In Astral Dynamics, he actually does have several techniques for protecting yourself.
See, I think that's very important to bring up to our audience.
Yeah, I wanted to bring him on the show for the psychic self-defense show a while back, but it worked out where I couldn't really do that and had to get somebody else instead. But it's a big part of his program, and it is important.
It is, because you know how it is. When people first get into this kind of stuff, the metaphysics, that's the first thing they want to do is astral project. But, you know, you have to use caution, and you do have to have some form of protection, you know, to protect yourself so that you can come back into your body without having either picked up something on the way or, you know, severed your tie or, you know, I'm talking about.
You know, you have to be responsible. You have to be very responsible and also take it seriously, because you're right about people. Well, I didn't want to do that when I didn't want to do this work.
Absolutely.
When psychokinetic activity is going on, you're drained and you're freaking out. The last thing I would think about astral projecting at that point, but you know, But it is, you have to be responsible, definitely, to all those listening, because you're right. People think, oh, that's the best. You know, I guess you're right. You get into that. Oh, my gosh, I want to, play, you know, project myself here or there. But, you know, it's really something that it's like anything else. It's like you have to take responsibility that it is not just a playtime
it's not
in sandbox, you know.
Definitely not. none of this work is really play, because we are engaging with forces, universal energies and forces that, you know, change things, that are powerful, you know. So we have to be respectful of that.
And yes. So Steve, we slapped you around. So Steven, sorry.
No, we're not slapping you around. We're giving our little slice, you know what I mean?
Well, I'll tell you what, one thing that worries me in particular is, I mean, when we're talking about insomnia, he completely surprised me. I thought he was just going to say, no, you got to sort out your insomnia issues. But no, he said insomnia can accidentally help. Now, I do a lot of driving, when I'm exhausted or something. I can only imagine being, now I realize I'm in an altered state of consciousness and I'm behind the wheel. What if I astrally project by accident and I'm behind the wheel? That could be catastrophic.
Well, that's not, people do
like
that
all
the time.
Like one of those stickers on the back of the car that says, in the case of.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Awesome.
There's, you know, I have a lot of problems with that myself. I would put a spray bottle in my car and spray my face like a cat to keep myself up. But sometimes I would be in a hypnotic, sometimes get in a trance form. And you know how you pass? You know, everybody gets like that. They'll pass. Suddenly they pass their off ramp they're supposed to get off of. You know, it's like, what happened? But insomnia is, it gets you opened. It gets you vulnerable to that energy of being able to. It's actually, I do my best work sometimes, sleep deprived.
Me too. I stay up real late. I mean, I start to get real energized right around 2 o'clock in the morning.
Then me too.
I get up and I'm like, wait, maybe I should go watch some TV or do something.
Yeah,
but
I do.
I think teetering on the edge of exhaustion sort of stretches out that fringe consciousness that we were talking about, that fertile, creatively fertile moment right before you fall asleep, moments before sleeping, and right when you're just waking up. You know, I think being exhausted sort of stretches out that fringe consciousness a little bit, which could explain why I like it so much. My doctor tried to give me some Lunesta. Right, and then I read one of the side effects were man boobs, and I'm like, I'll just stick with the insomnia. You know what I mean?
Ambrin is really dangerous, and they say that the incidence of sleepwalking with Ambrin, and if you were a sleepwalker anyhow, not to take Ambrin because it creates it. I mean, it's like intense.
And a lot of that stuff is probably habit forming as well. Come to think about it,
Lunesta's horrible.
Did you ever take it, Steve?
Yeah, I used to, actually. And you can... It makes you binge. So it's probably not man boobs. It's just it makes you binge. I didn't get man boobs.
What, you mean like binge
eating? I took it for a little while. Yeah, you wake up in the morning and you realize that in the night you went into the kitchen and you ate a load of stuff.
Oh,
and
God.
You find like packets of things and crumbs and think,
oh, my God.
What's happened? And you realize that you can literally on Lunesta, you can get up in the middle of the night and not know what you did.
See, I do
and
that
then
regularly.
You're wrapping
scary.
It chocolate, all that.
Yeah. You know, that's interesting because I do that with my sleepwalking, or I've gone actually downstairs into my car and stuff. But I mean, I eat and I almost, cut off my finger from thinking my finger was a bagel. I was cutting. But usually I wake up and there's all this food and stuff all over the place. But I don't take that medication. It's just that. Maybe that. Ew, weird. I didn't know that.
You
I
hear
did.
People on Lunesta actually going out in the car in the night and in the morning not
could
knowing.
You, could you? My God, I didn't know that would happen. Cause
could
I
you
have
imagine?
A,
they'll just go someplace, go to a bar, order a drink.
They're
asleep.
It's so dangerous, and you're not supposed to wake. But I've always been a sleepwalker. But if that medication does that, I can't imagine having that medication to me. And what would happen? I'd probably go to everybody's home and eat.
Order pizzas and don't pay for them.
Okay.
Order 10 pizzas.
Yeah, I figured that. I kind of like my insomnia. It empowers me to get more done. You know, I don't see a reason to get rid of my insomnia. Will never occur to me, which is perhaps why it's dangerous.
So in the chat room, Kat is mentioning. I liked when he talked about death and animals.
Ah, yeah, I like that as well. I think he just had a very optimistic and a pleasant view on passing into the afterlife in general. You know, and the notion that my pets, whom I love dearly. I can be reunited with them in the astral plane or some higher plane. I just really love that idea a lot. It was my pet who taught me about death in the first place.
What kind?
It's just a mongrel dog from the pound. I don't even know what kind of breed. I called him Sneezer. My father got him for me after I went to the dentist. And I remember, that's one of my earliest memories. The dentist put the little nitrous mask on me and told me I was about to become an astronaut. And he won't lie, too. I became an astronaut. I don't remember anything after that, except I came out of the situation lighter, two teeth, which caused me to hate dentists for the rest of my life. But when I got back, there was Sneezer, my dog, and I loved him. And, you know, when Sneezer's appointed time came around, he was my entree into the fascinating world of mortality. And I understood that golden little shell that I was living in was doomed to become tarnished and pass away. Everything was in the flux of becoming and passing away. And, you know, my pet taught me that.
That's because they're so much more free. All of my animals who've passed over, and he talked about shape-shifting and traveling, you know, on the astral plane with animals. I had a cat that would do that with me that was passed over. They're unhampered, you know, their souls are cleaner. I think it's easier for them.
Yeah, that idea makes a lot of sense. They don't have a lot of the baggage that we accumulate by doing people dirty or having people do us dirty or what have you. All the little moral foibles, you know, animals get to avoid all of that. Which you actually, listening to you talk, Brenda, it sounds to me like you've got some experience doing astral projection.
I have. It was fascinating. It was the first time I astral project, it was, I used a method that there's this book, it's called The Tarot by Mauni Sadhu, and it's out of print, but it's got all the lessons of metaphysics in it, but it's told through the tarot. And there was this method in which you put this black dot on a wall and you just kind of lay there and you meditated and you focused on the black dot until it disappeared, and then you rose out of your body. And that was, I must have been 16 when I did that. And it was the most amazing thing. I could feel the first time I did it. I mean, it happened so quick. And I rose out of my body, and then I just kind of rushed across the room above my body, about a foot above my body. And I was totally aware. I went past my dresser. I could smell the perfume. I went in the other room. It was pretty, it was amazing. And then I got scared. And so I went, snatched myself right back into my body quickly. It was almost like a shock.
And you say this happened when you were 16?
About 16, yeah. No, honey, that was a long time ago.
You've only been doing it 3 or 4 years now.
Oh, yeah,
I thought you were an expert, Brenda. You're
hardly. We're talking 30 years, okay?
Well, I think that's absolutely amazing. I have yet to take one of those journeys, but I'm absolutely rabid to try. So I'm going to be.
It's amazing. It's amazing, but you know, it's like like anything, you have to protect yourself and be aware of what you're doing. Read up on the subject. I mean, I think your guest was like, he's a total expert, that's for sure.
He knows what he's talking about. I wanted to, that's why I wanted to kick off the proceedings tonight with a disclaimer. I don't want anybody to think that they, after listening to Mr. Bruce talk, that they're going to be able to actually project themselves to the Champs-Élysées or, you know, to Paris and pick up an espresso or whatnot. You know, it's going to take some work. You know, the thing that most of us shy away from.
Well, I like what he talked about doubles, because what has happened a lot, you know, working with different clients. I had this one particular client whose daughter was murdered.
And
she came home that night, her daughter was already dead. The next morning they saw her daughter go to work, walk in and get a cup of coffee and walk out. Everybody there that worked with her saw her. But she had died at 10:30 that night.
That's amazing.
The previous night.
That
so
is amazing.
That happens a lot.
That is, you know, absolutely.
It's almost like
amazing.
They take one more journey.
Right. I tell you, I think that's very comforting for those of us, especially who've lost a loved one. You know, this idea that our loved one isn't really that far from us at all.
No, it's just a meat body that's gone.
The meat body.
Body, really.
You know, guys, I used to work in an office and where people claimed to see one of their ex-co-workers who was killed in an accident. And a lot of people used to say that they had seen her on different occasions using the photocopier. And it was quite common to hear people say, "I saw this girl at the photocopier."
I totally believe it. I mean, most people's their entire lives revolve around the office, so it makes perfect sense that even in death that they're still going to clock in, as it were. And it makes perfect sense.
Our shell will just decay, and then our body, our spirit, our essence, which is eternal, just moves on. It's just that I feel is the most comforting thought. You know, when you think about death, which is really not an end, it's a new beginning. You know.
Yes, absolutely. I think what bothers most people about it, certainly what bothers me about it, isn't the idea so much of whether or not we'll survive. It's the idea of, will I survive as Stephen, as recognizably myself? Otherwise, why would people spend so much money to have their name put up on, you know, have a library named after them or whatever? You know, why do people get so hoity-toity when you forget their names? You know, I think it's the identity, the death of the identity that people really are afraid of. It's not enough to go to some ambiguous place. They want to be sure that they're still going to be themselves when they get there. And unfortunately, I think maybe we have to be prepared to let that go, that identity, that little voice that
says
you.
That's a very valid point, because you can't control that. But it's actually exciting if you think about it. You could be born into any culture, and you can be either sex. It's an adventure. I mean, at some point, you will be in a consciousness again. And if you know, are who you are from the past, you could have some past life remembrances. Like my daughter, when she was little, I mean, she was obsessed by talking about, she said, she was maybe two, and she said, "I was married to a man named Sonny Gordon, and we lived in Australia, and I had five sons." And she kept talking and talking about this all the time, and I let her talk about it because she was actually remembering. And I think that children can remember before age 7, they've got a lot of past life memory.
Oh yes, I absolutely, when I was young, remember that moments like that.
And yeah, this is not your imagination. This is really something. I mean, parents shut you down. "Oh, you're telling lies, Johnny. You're telling lies, Stephen."
Well, we're coming to that point in the show where we're ready to take some questions from you. That number is 724-444-4851. Now, please, we need you to ask only one question out of respect for the other people who are sitting in the queue and waiting to take their turn to ask us a question. But I believe our first caller is for Maureen, and she is from New York. The caller is from New York, rather.
Yeah, I'm not from New York. Hi, New York.
Hi. Hi.
Who am I speaking to?
Excuse me?
What's your name?
Anne.
I'm sorry, what?
Anne.
Hi, Anne. I'm ready
Hi.
For you, Anne. What can I help you with?
I've been trying to make friends for a very long time. I had friends when I was in my 20s, so it kind of dissipated. And now I'm just feeling like whenever I try to make friends, I'm kind of feeling rejected by a lot of people. And I'm just wondering if I'll actually ever find a group of people that I can be close with.
Got it. You know, this is the thing that I'm picking up. What I'm getting is this, and it's a positive. And you know, I mentioned how I do my readings. I a lot of times a negative, or what may appear to be, you can actually make it into a positive. But it does appear like you recently, or in the recent past, whatever, you know, it's not like you were no longer interested in doing what maybe you used to, socializing in the way that you used to socialize with some of your friends. And it probably, and most likely, a lot of times that will come from, I feel that you're a very balanced person, and you're very connected to, you're self-aware into your inner voice. You're self-aware of your inner voice and spiritually connected. I know we all are, but I think what I'm trying to say is I feel that you probably connected in that way with yourself. So it would be that natural that it's hard perhaps for you to connect with others that don't share that same authentic energy that you do. Do you follow what I'm saying? Do you understand?
Yeah.
Good. Okay, so it's a bittersweet because right now, like I said, you are really grounded as far as being a balanced person that can actually connect with anybody, as long as it would connect with your true self. So, really, I feel that there's a lot of incompletion around some of the stuff. I do see a woman friend coming up. I feel you know of her or somebody new that you know of. And she is going to be very supportive. And I feel that within the next month. And, you know, it's really not a question of how many friends you – it's about the quality of friends and people you can really connect with. So if you're – it's not – there's nothing wrong with you. I just want to make that clear. I don't feel there's anything wrong with you. I feel people may not be – they just don't get it yet, or it's okay, or maybe, and it's not working for you, and it is a change. Have you gone through this stuff? For myself, I can identify this happened. It seems to happen. It happened to me many years ago, and it's a sad thing, and I felt, okay, you know how you feel like you could connect, you had friends in your 20s, like you said, and the next thing you know, you don't. Everything's changed, but I feel it's because of your changes you've made for the better from where I'm sitting and being more being more running on your intuition instead of so much on the surface. So, you know, like I said, I do see a woman friend. She looks like she has light hair and she's just glowing. She's just full of great energy and I do feel that you'll be connecting with her even more so. Like I said, I feel you know her. And it will be great. And just having one really good friend to start, I'm not saying that's all we need, is a good start. Because then you find people, you know, you can still care about them, even some of the other people. But sometimes they just aren't on the same level as you anymore, bless their hearts. You know, they're more interested in other things that you may have used to be not anymore. So it's your changes, and it's all for the better. And I hope you followed me because I feel that you're on a really good path. But it's still kind of feeling like new. So, you know, I don't know what you feel about that. I just feel that you appear very positive, very grounded. And you will attract the right good friends, authentic people to you, towards you because of it. It's just, it won't be like a lot of them. You might be used to. So the other people, it's okay. You know, you can be, they just may not understand or you may not have anything in common much anymore with some of the same ones you used to or the ones you were gravitating towards. Anne, are you there?
So you see one person. Do you see any more than one person?
Well, absolutely. This is the thing. It's like you can have as many as you want, but what I see you're heading towards because of who you are and what you've evolved into, whatever work you put into yourself, things have changed as far as the way you look at things. The old orders are no longer apparent. So I feel this friend is like the beginning, and then they'll be good quality people. And I'm just saying, I see a woman friend, and then from there the two of you would introduce, and it won't mean that you know you can be friends with a million people if you want, but these will be people that you really connect with. I'm seeing, it's not just one, I'm just talking about this one woman, very supportive, and that by having just one person get you, you know, really get you, you get each other, you know, you move forward and you guys do the same thing. Okay. You know what I mean?
You're saying that will just be a start, and then things will unroll from there.
Yeah, exactly. And you'll start feeling a lot more comfortable. Absolutely. Okay. And
all
also,
right.
If you,
wait,
mute your mic, whoever did that. Not you, Anne. Thank you. Someone else. Also, you know, if you ever want to talk to any one of us at psychicx.com, feel free to do so, or you can get a free reading first timers, 6 minutes. So, Anne, I wish you well, but you're on a really good, your path is really great right now. I feel, like I said, it's wonderful.
Well, it may seem great to you, but when you're so isolated as I am, it just doesn't seem great.
I get what you're going through. I really get what you're going through. Believe me, I do, and it's very awkward. But it won't feel so much later when you start feeling so embraced by some really great people. And when, just to start coming up, going from there, that you all share the same share the same thing. Do you know? It's because you've made some changes was really what this has to do with. It's fantastic. There'll be good people.
Okay.
Right. So just hang in there. It's okay. It's just you're heading in the right direction, really.
Okay,
Anne. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Outstanding. Thank you very much, Maureen. I know she must it must feel great to know that her tribulations are only temporary, going to change.
I hope so. Yeah, it's hard. Now,
again, that call-in number is 724-444-4851. Please call in with your one question, directed, very clear question. We do appreciate it. Steve, we have a caller from Georgia for you, sir.
Thank you. Who's calling from Georgia?
Okay, we might have lost Georgia, but in that case, we do have a caller from Massachusetts, Steve. Let's try Massachusetts.
Thank you. Who's calling from Massachusetts?
Hi, this is Richa.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Good evening, everybody. I just have one question, and that is regarding my father. When can he get his new job?
When will he get his new job? Let's have a look. Let me see. Okay, let's have a look at this. Firstly, let me say to you, I feel absolutely that he will. I am drawn to, let me see. I'm drawn to September, October. I don't feel as though it comes about in the summer. But I am very confident that he'll be successful. And as I said, September, October.
Will he be able to at least, like, is that his starting date or that's not even his starting date? Like, is it possible that he gets the job before, but he starts around that time?
It feels that that's when he actually starts work. Yes. It doesn't feel that that's the time of an interview
the job
or an application.
In summer? Because he's been out of job for almost 7-8 months now.
Okay. No, I feel that he will begin work in September, October. I don't feel that he will actually start a job in the summer. It feels like September, October. But as I said a moment ago, that's not when he applies for a job. That feels very much like when he will start a job. And I feel that he will do well. I feel that he will get a role that pays well and that he'll get what he deserves.
So will he be able to pay his bills from now until then? Because it's almost 10 years since he's been out of job and he was at a very senior position before.
Yeah. No, I feel that you're helping and looking at the cards, and I feel that you'll need to continue to help, but I do feel that when he gets back to work September, October, he will be in a role that pays very well. So I feel it's a question of getting through the summer, and then I do feel strongly that he'll be fine, and the role that he gets pays well.
And will there be talks starting about that role soon enough, or they will also start? Like, will he be able to go through the process to get the job and but start in September, October, or even that is not going to happen right now?
No, I feel drawn to August, to be quite honest, for him actually identifying the right role. But as I said, I don't feel that he'll begin before September, October. So you'll need to plan for the summer period financially.
Okay. And can I ask one more question?
I can't take another one, I'm afraid, because we're only supposed to take one question because we have so many different callers. But if you want to contact me on Psychic Access, I can look at it in more detail for you for sure. Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much for your help.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Steve, thank you very much. That was an outstanding reading. Thank you. Yes. So again, that number, the call-in number is 724-444-4851. We do appreciate you calling in with your single question to get your free 6-minute reading here live on the air. Brenda, you have a caller from Illinois.
Hi, Illinois.
Hello. Hi, am I on? Oh, hi. My name is Chana, and I'm calling from Chicago, Illinois.
Okay. What can I do for you tonight, Chana?
I'm sorry?
What can I do for you tonight?
Okay. Well, I just have one question regarding my relationship. So this guy, I dated him for 5 months, and right now we're kind of on a break. And I want to know what the future holds for us. So I just want to know if there's a chance to turn it around, or should I be moving on? I'm just confused.
Okay, let's take a peek.
Mm-hmm.
When I look into him, I see that, part of the reason for this break is not because of you. It's because of what's going on in his life. And I see him very concerned over finance or career at this point. However, I do see that there, you know, it's interesting because Wheel of Fortune's on this, which means it's going to turn in your favor.
Mm-hmm.
It'll probably be by the end of this month when, you know, you're going to start to get some communication with him, and it feels light. It doesn't feel like it's going to be something real heavy, especially not at first. So if your question to me is, are you going to have a reconnection with him? I do see that. There's a lot of hurt around it because it feels like, you know, he kind of, you know, pushed the relationship aside. But he's been contemplating why he did this. And I do see that you are going to get some sort of explanation. And there's a possibility. I feel that this is not outside of the realm of possibility that the two of you could reconnect. But it's going to be at least 3 months in the making is what I see.
At least 3 months?
Yes, you'll have some communication in the next 30 days. But then after that, I feel that, it'll go a little bit slow. He's not ready. What I'm getting is that he's really not ready to take the next step in a relationship. So you might have to go back to square one with this relationship. You know, the friendship first while he figures out where he wants to be is what I see.
Right. Yes. Actually, that's what he is saying too. But then the hard part is that, so after we broke up, he started dating another girl within 2 weeks. And so, like, right now, it's really hard for me to, like, imagine, like, oh, he's with another girl. And, but then he also says that he, that girl chased him, not he chased her. And then he's not really into her. And he was like, his relationship with her will not last long. But so
I don't see
right
her
now,
in this. I really don't. I don't see that she's in here. I don't see her in this equation. I feel that it could probably be exactly what he said, that she chased him and maybe he had a few dates with her.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not seeing that he's, you know, he's viewing this as any type of a relationship. Just the fact that he's telling you how he feels means that he has regard for you still.
Mm-hmm. He's saying that it is not serious, but
it's not.
But
I don't think you should worry about it. I don't see her in here. I feel that she's just probably just somebody he might have a few dates with. I'm not seeing that it's going anywhere because he's not wanting it to. If he has a serious relationship, I feel he's going to come back your way.
And you think that he and I will be back together?
Well, I see a reconnection. It's about 3 months away.
Okay, yeah, but right now our communication is getting worse and worse, and we actually had a really bad argument like a few hours ago, and so I'm just not sure this is the thing.
He keeps coming back, though. I don't see that it's going to go away. So he keeps coming back. He keeps communicating with you, even if you had a bad. Well, your argument is about this whole situation. You need to back away from it because he's just not in that headspace right now.
Okay, yes. So what do you suggest me to do?
Like, I think you need to just let this go for a while, and this has to become lighter, and the friendship has to come back between the two of you, because underneath it all, you're very good. You had a real connection, and he knows this, and that's what needs to come out now, not you can't force an issue that's not ready to happen yet. See what I mean?
Yes. So, and then again, because of this bad communication, because of this bad situation, part of me is hoping that maybe I should move on. Maybe I will meet someone better. Do you think that will happen, or?
Well, you know, when I'm looking in here, I don't see anybody else. I feel that, you know, there's somebody who's perhaps taking a class with you or is a friend that would like to date you, but you don't have the same feelings towards him. So in the next mm-hmm. 3 months, you know, I don't see you sitting by the phone, but it just looks like that's kind of the cycle in which it, you know, it comes back that you could be looking at this relationship again.
Yeah. My real question is, like, is he reconsidering this relationship?
Well, it's going to be interesting with the dynamics. If you back off here, then he's got time to think about this. You should let it go.
Okay.
I know it's hard. It's very difficult because you have feelings for this man, but really, what else can you do? You can't do anything else.
Yeah. I know. I'm really confused and going through a really difficult time, and
I know, but the underneath mm-hmm. it all, there's this very strong connection, and we're about ready to run out of time here. So, you know what? If you'd like to, you know, further this reading and get some more details, you can always reach me at psychicaccess.com. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you,
Brenda. Thank you very much. That, your words of wisdom, I'm sure they're going to help Shanna out a lot. Thank you.
Oh, I hope so.
I do believe I have a caller from Cleveland. Are you there, Cleveland?
Hello.
Hi. How may I help you this evening?
Okay, I have a question. I'm thinking about going into business, but I'm not sure what or should I.
Okay. Well, let's see what the tarot cards have to say about that. Let me lay out a spread real fast, and we'll have our answer. Should she go into this business? It's always exciting to go into a... Is it like a freelance... It's like your own personal business. Yeah, that's always
right.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Exciting and scary at the same time.
Yeah.
Absolutely, which is why you're talking to me right now, so you can understand what sort of forces you're up against. Well, we're almost where we need to be, cutting and shuffling the cards. I like to shuffle and cut 3 times.
Oh.
For mystical reasons. Yes, 3 is a multiple of 9. Yes, here we have our answer. 1 second, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know what? It's not mm-hmm. going to be a walk in the park, but it's going to be far from a disaster. I would have to say, looking at the cards that I've got here, definitely go for it. The tarot is saying that if you try to develop this business, you're going to be successful. Here we have the Horseman of Coins reversed. This shows some of your angst and worrying about the financials of this decision prior to coming to talk to me tonight. However, the point where we're at right now is the Seven of Cups. We have 2 sevens here, which is significant anytime we have a resonance of 2 numbers. And the number 7 is anchored by the Conqueror. Okay, the Charioteer. So this tells me that this move is actually a very important move for you, not only financially, but in terms of actualizing yourself, do you see? And you'll be successful in that. There's also the 7 of Scepters and the 7 of Cups. These are the 2 7 of Cards that we have here. And both of these cards are working synergistically with one another to let me know absolutely that you're going to have success with your enterprise, definitely.
Oh.
I would not worry about it if I were you. I mean, again, it's not going to, you know, there are going to be some challenges. We have the 5 of Swords upside down. Now, the 5 of Swords usually refers to an escape from danger. So there will probably be some narrow escapes, but the emphasis is on the word escape, do you see?
Okay.
And again, it's not going to be anything. It's to be expected. Startup problems with the business are to be expected. And if anything, the startup problems will either be related to startup capital or miscommunications, because Mercury is associated with this 5 of Swords. So we'd have a situation where Mercury and Jupiter or Mercury and Neptune might be in harsh aspect to one another. If there's any danger to this, it's that, in other words, you're operating out of illusion and delusion instead of hard facts. So, you know, don't let that discourage you, of course. but I want to make you aware of what pitfalls might be waiting for you. Do you understand?
Okay.
So in rolling this business out and getting started with it, make sure that you're dealing in reality, that your expectations for the business are not too high, and that you're dealing with people who are honest and reputable.
Okay. That sounds really good.
Yeah, I don't see any major problems at all. So congratulations to you.
Well, thank you. Can you see from that if how long it would take for this to come forth? Well, is it going to take 6 months, a year? Could you see that or not?
The Seven of Scepters, which is one of the more important cards in this spread, is associated with the summertime. And it's also associated with the sign of Sagittarius, which is later on in the autumn, going into Christmas. So those are going to be the two hot spots, I would imagine. The scepters naturally, as a suit, as a fiery suit, refer to the summertime. And Sagittarius, the ruler of this card, refers to late autumn. So those two periods of time are going to be important in the development of your business. I'm looking at probably at a launch time of this summer and another important event in the development of the business later on as we close out the year.
Okay. That sounds great. That's what I was thinking of starting actually this summer, within the next few weeks, checking everything out and seeing what's what. And
I would definitely go for it.
Thank you very much.
Hey, don't thank me. It's in the cards. You know what I'm saying? This is coming to you. This is your karma. So congratulations, and I wish you all the best on this.
Thank you.
Hey, don't forget to come see us at psychicaccess.com whenever you're at a crossroads in life. We'll be here to help you out, okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, Maureen.
Yes, Ontario. Hi.
Wow, you're a psychic.
I'm just so much so. Hello, Ontario. Hello, it's Maureen.
Hello.
Hi, may I have your name, please? Hi.
I'm sorry?
May I have your name?
It's Shauna.
It's Shauna?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Hi, Shauna. Is this Shauna Hi, Shauna. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay. And what would you like me to look into for you?
My love life.
Okay, since I don't have a lot of time with, because of our readings and this venue being short, not so long. Is there someone in, so I don't, I can help you the best I can within the few minutes that I have. Is there someone particular that you want me, or is it just, because I just want to give you the best reading I can for your question.
Yeah, so there's a specific individual right now.
Okay, so are you asking about, is he going to step it up soon, get it together, or?
He's been in and out of my life, largely in for the last 14 months.
Okay.
And just wondering how things are progressing or not.
I got it. If they're going to progress or if he's going to, I got it. I understand. And yeah. I get that's why I wanted to ask you first. Well, this is I do see around you, surrounding you at this time. There is definitely a feeling by your own well doing of releasing yourself from self imprisonment with this. It's you're taking on dealing with this rightfully so instead of opposing. Not you're having boundaries in places. It appears to me, and that's the best thing, because for this, I feel it's a very strong connection, but I also feel that the ball's in your court on this one. I'm not talking about playing games or anything like that, but about you making the changes, and by doing so, you may feel you'll risk losing or whatever, but the pattern has got to stop, because it does look like it goes back and forth with you connecting, feeling disconnected. It does also, I'm seeing something about a short trip delayed or something going on, some short getaway of some sort, and now it's in delay. And it's almost like you don't understand where you're coming from with him, because one minute it will feel like you're trusting that everything is fine, or is it really, really right that what you're seeing is true? You're carrying too much load on your back with this one. You're carrying too much responsibility for this. And it's creating some it's very difficult for you, and you need to allow him to take some responsibility. But if he's used to you always doing or hanging in there or doing this or tolerating, nothing's going to change. But I do get that this is something perhaps you've been aware of or becoming aware of. And I feel that the risk is not so much if you don't consider the alternative. If you don't have boundaries in place and really stand by them, this will continue on the same pattern it has been for all this time, 14 months, you said. But I do feel that he would step it up. There's a real negative mother figure, some negative past women around him, but you're not those people. He needs, you know, to get it together, but you can't help him through that. He's got to sort out some of his issues, but I do feel that he really cares about you. But, you know, I see you as very good, connected and good lifelong partnership, but things have got to change this pattern that has become a pattern. But I do feel that it's up to you, and it's too much on your back to carry it through. And I feel that he will step it up. I really do. And I feel actually, I know it sounds a long way away, but by spring, I'm not saying nothing's going to go on, but by the springtime of 2014, I see a fantastic new beginning, a fresh start. I'm like heading in the same direction. If this is the person you want to be with, be it marriage or whatever, it's very positive. So, you know, if he's well worthy of it, I would stand by your boundaries with him. And I feel that he will do something about it. He doesn't want to lose you. But right now, you know, if he gets away with doing, well, you know what I mean, gets away with doing this or that, you know, it's just a pattern. And it's not that you consciously went into, but some women have been really wrong, bad around him. You're not one of those. You're not that woman. So, like I said, I feel this is really something that it's about you making the changes. But I wouldn't give up on it.
Do you see with him marriage or children?
Yeah, I do. If you're able to be courageous and be brave and be fearless and know that it's okay if you put boundaries in place, and I mean you really need to stand by them. Yes, I really do. I feel that he will respond in a way. He's just, it's out of fear, whatever. Yes, like I said, in springtime, it looks like this is the type of person, if you want to get married, yes, I do see the beginning of what you are looking for, that you both really will, you blend well together. It's just you've gotten into this funk of doing this dysfunction a bit together. That's all. Yes, I do see him as a lifelong partner for marriage. I do see children, if that's so be it the case, but not like things have been right now, you know?
No.
So, you know, like I said, I would draw really good boundaries and stand by them. And it's going to be difficult, but I feel by doing that, he cares for you. I really do feel by doing that, and it's going to be hard. You will see him also reacting or responding differently because you're changed about how you're interacting.
Okay. And then there's this other individual, my husband or ex-husband, they're separated, who's around and we haven't ended that part yet, and don't know if that will naturally end on its own or.
Well, you know, I'm out of time. We got to go to another caller, but you know, you can reach us at psychicaccess.com, and we offer free readings, new customers, 6-minute readings. You may want to try there, but I need to move on because I have all these calls. I apologize, but I hope I helped you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Bye bye.
Maureen, thank you very much for that reading. Yes, and we are very sorry, but we have to cut it back to 5 minutes now for the reading due to the demand for the call from the callers, which is a good thing. We have a call for Steve from Utah.
Thank you. Who's calling from Utah?
Are you talking to me? This is Jody.
Yes, Jody. You calling from Utah?
My phone's from Utah.
Okay, there we go. Well, how can we help?
Well, I have different questions, but so I'm debating which one do I go with, career or this move. Do you think my moving to Utah is a good idea?
Do I think moving to
from Utah to Idaho, sorry.
Sorry, you're moving from Utah to Idaho?
Yeah.
And you want to know if that's a good idea to go to Idaho.
Hello?
You want to know if it's a good idea to move from Utah to Idaho.
Right. Because I'm moving with a friend and from high school and his sons. But I'm like kind of up in the air 1 minute, and then the next minute I think I'm supposed to be here, and then the next minute back and forth. So I'm just wondering.
Okay, let's have a look.
Okay.
Let me see. I don't feel that it's a bad idea for you to go to Idaho. I don't necessarily feel that you will stay in Idaho forevermore, but I feel that there's a reason for you to go there, and I feel that it can be beneficial to you. How long have you been in this relationship?
I came up here to visit. Like I said, it was a friend from high school, and I came up here to visit, and I was supposed to stay a month. And I do angel card readings, but a lot of times when you read on yourself, you don't know how to read exactly. You know what I mean? So I wanted to get another perspective. But I do have a feeling that because of something that happened with his sons, one of them is an indigo, and I feel like I'm supposed to be here for that, but I don't know if I'm supposed to be here for the relationship, because I don't know how I feel about him.
Yeah. Okay, well, you know, let me expand on what I was seeing and what I was saying.
Okay.
I feel that it is beneficial for you to spend time in Idaho. I don't feel that you should just drop everything in Utah and completely relocate to Idaho right now.
Okay.
I feel that you need to take your time. I feel that you should not rush full on into all of these commitments that you're potentially undertaking.
I
concur with you that I'm not sure that the relationship will be the right relationship for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, in summary...
That's what I'm feeling as well.
Yeah. So, in summary, I know that you had your heart broken in the past. I mean, we all have
almost
had.
Almost every single time, yeah.
Yeah. And I know that you're looking for new opportunities, not just romantically, but also financially and in terms of your career, your work. I know that he is fond of you. I know that he's genuinely expressing an interest in you. And I know that you're very caring, and you want to do the right thing for other people.
Right.
I feel if you were just to let go of everything and relocate there, you may regret it.
Okay.
And I'm not sure, as I said, about the relationship side of it. So I feel that you need to take more time. I don't feel that you need to just drop everything and go up there. I feel that you need to visit more. You need to take your time to get to know the family, to get to know him, and see how it unfolds. So I don't feel that you should rush it.
I kind of thought that I was going a little bit too fast, and I have to slow it down, but it seems like I'm feeling pressured. So I'm like cold 1 minute, and then I'm okay the next minute, and then I'm cold the next minute, and I don't like doing that to people because I've been hurt as well. So,
there's nothing wrong or irresponsible about taking some time. You've known each other more recently for a month. That's a very short amount of time to then make a full-on commitment to relocate and commit to the family and playing the role of mother, in effect. And it almost would feel unwise of you to rush to that extent, unwise for yourself, for him, and for the kids. So I feel that you need to reflect on what's responsible for all parties and take some time. There is no rush, okay?
Okay, thank you. I appreciate
You're welcome.
It.
I wish you lots
it's
of luck.
It's always nice to have a different perspective, and that's what I was looking for. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, as it unfolds, if we can help anymore, just come to us at Psychic Access, okay? Good
All
luck.
Right, thank you.
Bye-bye. Steve, thank you very much for that informative and helpful reading. Thank you. Brenda, we have a caller from Cleveland.
Hi, Cleveland. How are you? Hello? Hello, Cleveland?
Hello?
Hi there.
Hello?
Hi there. Hello. How can I help you this evening?
I was wondering if you guys seen my boyfriend getting released from prison.
Let's take a peek here. Let's see. You know, there's some hidden things around this, like some things that aren't being told to you. So it feels like there's still some things he needs to work out before he gets released. When's he supposed to get released?
Well, we filed a judicial release. That's something you file with the judge to get him released early if he's been on good behavior and stuff.
Okay, well, it feels... You know, I have to tell you honestly, it's going to be a while. You won't hear anything for probably another 6 weeks. And I do see it getting to the right channels. But, you know, if your question to me is he going to have an early release, it's still kind of up in the air, it feels like. And you'd know more at the end of 3 months, really, is what I see. There's somebody, though, that's... blocking it. I feel that there is someone blocking it still. Are you going to have to go to court for this?
No, he could get released from the prison or he could come back and go to court.
Yeah. It feels like there's something. I really do feel that he's going to have to go before a judge for this, but you could receive good news at the end of 3 months, but not before that.
Okay.
Feels like it's in the process is what I see.
Okay. Thank
so
you.
So hang in there.
All right. Thank you very much, Brenda, for that reading. We appreciate that. I have a caller from Pennsylvania. How may I help you, Pennsylvania?
Yes, I was wondering if you could tell me about my love life.
I certainly can. Would you like sort of like a general forecast, or do you have a specific question?
Is there anyone coming into my life?
Okay. Let's see what the rest of this summer is going to look like for you, romantically speaking. What can she expect out of her love life over the next 3 months? Here we are on cut two. What can we expect from her love life over the next 3 months? Okay. And cut three. Time for our answer. Okay, so for this month, going from roughly the 6th of June until the 6th of July, the next 30 days, we have the Jack of Diamonds, the Jack of Coins. A young man, well, young at heart, perhaps, a youthful energy, definitely male, associated with the suit of coins. So could perhaps possibly be in the financial professions, maybe an accountant, maybe a cashier, handling money perhaps. Could be an Aquarius, scientific-minded sort of fella. If not an Aquarius, then certainly acts like an Aquarius. The month following that, we have the Two of Coins, a development of this Aquarian energy. So that suggests that this gentleman you're going to meet the next 30 days, and it does appear as if you'll meet a gentleman in the next 30 days, a friend perhaps, but something that will develop into something more romantic. So be alert to the people you come into contact with over the next month. Possibilities for a relationship will be high with this person. In the month going from July to August, we have the Two of Coins, again, associated with labor, the labor of love. I interpret that as meaning the research, getting to know each other, getting to know each other's quirks. And then finally, going from August to September, we have the Five of Cups. And that is a boon, a good omen for your romantic life, because now the affections come into play. Up until now, you and this gentleman, it's been more of an intellectual exchange. So, okay, again, I can't emphasize enough, watch out. Who are you friends with? Males are you friends with over this next month? Friendship is important. Love is nothing more but friendship set on fire. Now, do you have any questions about that reading? Or do you should know what to expect? It's looking like it's going to be a good summer for you up there in Pennsylvania.
Okay. Well, thank you, Steve.
Hey, thank you for listening to the show, and I hope you'll come back and visit us again at psychicaccess.com. You have a good one, okay?
Thank you. You too.
Okay, and this brings us to the end of the evening. I'd like to thank all of you for listening. I'd like to thank all of those participating in chat, and I'd like to thank all of my co-hosts. And while I'm up here thanking everyone, I'd certainly like to thank Robert Bruce, and I'm saving the most important one for last, our esteemed executive producer, Doug. He's the guy behind the scenes. You never hear from him, unfortunately, on the air. He's the one making sure that all the moving parts in this thing work together harmoniously, and it keeps things going. So I believe Maureen has our show next week. Maureen, is this, am I right about that?
You are correct. And the show, I'm happy to say, our guest is Deva, I hope I said that right, when she hears this, Jacobs. Anyway, she is a wonderful, yeah, it's going to be on Archangel Michael, and also a little bit of something else, which has to do with dragon power. A lot of people don't know what that is. But also, she's a wonderful woman, and she's a publicist, but she also books sessions just through ShirleyMcLean.com, so she's very well connected in a wonderful community. Anyway, so I'm really looking forward to the show, and she works with Archangel Michael, and she doesn't use any other tools or anything like that, so it'll be very interesting, and the dragon energy as well.
It sounds really fascinating.
Yes.
Personally, I'm looking forward to learning more about the Archangels. That's going to be great stuff.
Yes, it will. It will. So there you have it, everybody. Come on in and join us.
Yeah, another show not to be missed. Absolutely. Well.
So good night. I say good night now. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Good night. See y'all next week.
Good night.
Good night.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.